What are the qualities of a good leader? And what are the qualities that define a faithful Christian leader? Is there any difference? Last month, we had our annual general meeting, and one of the orders of business was to elect our parish nominators, those people whose job it is to select a new minister when eventually our current faithful ones move on. It is an important job, and it is vital that our nominators know what makes a faithful Christian leader. So far in our series in 1 Corinthians, we have seen that this issue of church leadership can be a huge problem. The Corinthians were getting sucked into the ways of the world around them, choosing favourite teachers to boast about based on their apparent wisdom and eloquence. There were factions, and they were divided when rather they should have been united. The Apostle Paul, who was their first teacher, was being rejected as old hat. In our federal politics at the moment, we've seen a fair amount of leadership change and instability, not just at the moment, for the last 9 or so years. Now, I'll be the first to admit that my political knowledge is rather poor, and I am prepared to get schooled on this over morning tea later. But nevertheless, I'll give you my analysis of my understanding of the last decade of prime ministerial demise. So we had John Howard, who basically had been in the job for so long that the list of all the things he'd done that annoyed people got so big that he just couldn't be elected. Then there was Kevin 07, who was super popular with the people because he wasn't John Howard. But his own party weren't so keen on his leadership skills, so he got the knife in the back by Julia, who was sort of the opposite to Kevin, a good leader of the party but not so loved by the general population due to the knife incident just mentioned. Well, we got Kevin back briefly when Labor realised that Julia couldn't win the election, but it was too little too late. Tony Abbott was next, but not many really liked him because, well, he didn't have much to say about anything. He wore Speedos in public and only really got elected because of the other team's internal problems. The Libs didn't want to miss out on all the leadership assassination fun, and so gave Tony the knife in exchange for Malcolm Turnbull, who looked cooler because he wore a leather jacket and had a lot to say about everything, but has since realised that it's harder to say stuff when the special initials after your name are reversed from the more humble MP to PM. After this last disaster of an election, we're all just eating popcorn and waiting to see what happens next. So factionalism and infighting has resulted in great ugliness and disorder in politics, and factionalism and infighting is even uglier when it is found within the church. You know, I used to dream about being a leader as a kid. I wanted to be the captain of the Sydney Swans. My hero was Paul Kelly, Captain Courageous, who I imagined I would one day replace. Last month I turned 31. I'm just now coming to terms with the idea that it probably won't happen. Maybe, though, I can still be a great leader. Perhaps the principal of a large and successful school. Forbes magazine has an article about leadership. It says that good leaders must look a certain way or they won't be followed. Then it lists 10 questions to ask yourself to power up your leadership presence. Here are the 10 questions. Are you a clear communicator? Are you a concise communicator? Do you speak with conviction? Do you tell stories? Does your body language project presence? Do you dress for leadership success? Do you tailor your content for different audiences? Do you stay poised and positive under pressure? Do you have a plan for self-promotion? Are you inspirational? Well, maybe this was Paul's problem. If only he spoke clearer and more concisely. Perhaps he should have told more stories, dressed for success and promoted himself better. Perhaps he wasn't poised enough and positive enough when he was being dragged outside of a city and had rocks thrown at him. Perhaps if he had done those things, the Corinthians wouldn't have started chasing after other teachers. Well, as we go through chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, we will see Paul list three characteristics of leaders which are markedly different to the qualities of worldly leaders. Paul has been chastising the Corinthians for their hero worship of different leaders. Now he explains a more appropriate way to think about apostles and, flowing on from apostles, or gospel-minded Christian leaders, and that is as servants. Christian leaders, church leaders, are not masters and lords, but servants. Servants of the risen Lord. So then, Paul begins in verse 1, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Paul may not seem like much to the Corinthians. He hasn't been trying to power up his leadership skills, buying a leather jacket, throwing away the Speedos while practicing his rhetoric. He is merely a servant. Yet the message he speaks contains the power of God for eternal life. As a faithful servant, he can't start getting fancy and creative with what he has been entrusted with. If he starts tinkering with the message, then the message he has is no longer from the Master and is completely devoid of all power. Look back at chapter 1, verse 17. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Today, Christian leaders and teachers have also been entrusted with the secret things of God. We stand on the apostles' teaching, which was inspired by God and written down. We cannot depart from, add to, or subtract from the word of God, or we too would be speaking empty, powerless words and inviting judgment to boot. I was at a youth event once, more than once, but this one time, and the speaker stood up. I'll tell you what, this guy was cool. He was so cool. He had the arms, the tats, the clothes, everything. He didn't just look cool, he spoke with charm and charisma. I remember thinking, man, I wish I could talk like that guy. You know, he was my age and he held the group teenagers in the palm of his hand. I had previously spoken at the same venue to the same group of kids. And when I did, I was so nervous. As I was speaking, or rather stuttering, I remember these girls in the front row, they were sitting just over there. And they were just having this conversation the whole time. I just kept thinking, is anyone even listening? Like, what am I doing here? I'm not impressive, they don't even care. Not this guy though. When he spoke, everyone in the room was hanging off his every word. But as I listened, I started to wonder what he was actually talking about. He had started by reading a passage from the Bible, but it seemed that he had used it as a kind of springboard for his own ideas. He wasn't sharing the secret things of God, but rather the things he thought we needed to know. In the church, we need to be discerning as we listen to preaching to make sure we aren't taking on board what we're hearing as gospel unless it is actually gospel. So keep your Bibles open. As a servant of Christ preaching the gospel, Paul cares not one bit that he is being judged by the Corinthians for his lack of worldly wisdom and style. The judgment and praise that matters to him is that of Christ, who will reveal all and reward accordingly when he returns. Look at verses 2-5. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. It is God who entrusts, and it is God who judges. So be faithful to your calling. So, our first characteristic of a Christian leader is that of a servant. And funny, I don't remember reading anything about being servant in the list of ways to power up your leadership appearance. And if the first characteristic wouldn't make the list, then the second one certainly won't either. Paul says that Christian leaders are fools and the scum of the earth. The first part shouldn't really be a surprise for us, since we have heard previously in 1 Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. Jesus says that those who would follow him need to first take up their cross. The life of a Christian is marked by suffering. This is foolishness to the world, who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, but wisdom to us who know that the suffering is temporary and that eternal peace and joy awaits in heaven with our Lord. The problem was that in Corinth, many in the church didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead either and were trying to reign like kings now on earth. That is worldly wisdom. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And it is a huge contrast to the way Paul and the other apostles were living. Verse 8, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. How I wish that you really had become kings, so that we might be kings with you. Paul is looking forward to the day when Jesus returns and believers everywhere will truly become like kings, because for now his life is pretty tough. Verse 9, for it seems to me that God has put us on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this very moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. This is quite a challenging passage for me. I think one of the questions that I should ask myself to power up my Christian leadership qualities would be, Brent, do you truly believe that one day you'll be raised bodily from the dead to reign with Christ forever? Do you try and avoid suffering by keeping quiet about your faith so that you can live like a king now? Christian leaders are to be servants, and they are to be fools for Christ. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, this is all rather heavy. Thank goodness I'm not trying to be a Christian leader. Well, got some news for you. Paul's final characteristic is of a father, someone to be imitated. Rather fitting metaphor today, actually. I think most people imitate their parents in some way or another, both consciously and subconsciously. My beautiful wife plays the violin beautifully. I don't know if you all know that, but she does. Now, I'll often know when I get home from work if she has been playing her violin in the day, because the kids, we're walking around with a wooden spoon in one hand and a chopstick in the other, and they'll be imitating her playing their own little violins, imitating their mother. I remember when I was 18 and living at home, the home phone rang, and that is the landline. Back then it was just called the phone. Today, if our landline rings, I usually won't answer it because we don't give out that number and it's probably just a telemarketer. But back then, if one of my dad's colleagues wanted to call him after school, they would call the home phone. It was really annoying when they did, because if you're on MSN chatting away to your friends who you hadn't seen for half an hour at school, the internet would cut out whenever the phone rang and you had to stop your conversation. Quite annoying. Anyway, the phone rang. I answered it and the lady on the other end said, "Hello, Ross," and launched into all this school talk. She thought I was my dad, because when we learn to speak, we try and fit in with those around us. And I had learned to speak and form my sounds just like my dad. Subconsciously, I had learned to imitate him. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that he feels like their father and he wishes that they would imitate him. He wasn't listing all of his sufferings because he was bitter and wished that he too could be like a little king now. Rather, he knows that the Corinthians are in danger of the judgment of God and out of fatherly love is warning them and showing them a better way. He even sends Timothy to them, not with a new message or teaching like the fancy new preachers, but rather to remind them of what they already know. From verse 14, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Christian leaders are servants of Christ, entrusted with the gospel, and they are fools for Christ who suffer persecution now, just as Jesus himself was persecuted. But these are not just characteristics of Christian leaders, but of all Christians, everywhere. For faithful leaders should also be like fathers to us, to be imitated, as they lead by example the way of life laid down by the apostles, as taught by our Lord Jesus, who through his suffering, an act of faithful service on the cross, brought us to our Heavenly Father for all eternity.